Good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time to join us tonight here on Kingdom Encounter Live, where our goal each time here is to always represent God in a way that rekindles the fire, restores spiritual gifts, and revitalizes a generation. Now, we're going to take time tonight, and we're going to jump right into the Word of God. We're going to make our confession in accordance to Isaiah 61 and 1, and then we're going to jump right into the Word of God tonight in Jesus' name. It says this, it says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone we give all the glory, honor, and praise that is due your name. Father, this is the day which you have made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad in it. Father, I'm glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I pray tonight that our teaching and preaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I'm covenanting with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this meeting tonight, that everyone who will hear this podcast, everyone who will see it, everyone who will tap into it, will have their lives forever changed. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word on the tablets of their hearts. Father God, and to you alone, I give all the glory and all the honor and all the praise that is due your name. And it's in your son, Christ Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Let us all say amen. And a good, my name is Milton Jones. I am apostle here and I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. I want to thank you for taking the time out to join us tonight. Now, if this is your very first time joining us, we want to welcome you to the podcast. And we want to truly believe that you're going to hear a right now word, a word in due season that will ultimately change your life forever. Now, we've been in a series here over the last few weeks called Built to Last. And Built to Last came from a word that the Lord was talking about in accordance to 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about perilous times or dangerous times that will be coming in the last of the last days. And ladies and gentlemen, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to hear it or not, we are living in the last of the last days, and the return of Jesus is imminent. And what he's doing is he's warning the believers of all the things that they will begin to see, you know, in the world, or even in possibly in their own lives, when you're talking about perilous times. Perilous times, that word perilous simply means dangerous or hazardous or at risk times. And I call it the selfie generation, where everybody is all about me, it's all about me, and it's all about me. And we found out over the last few weeks, talking about you're either conforming or you're transforming. Conforming means that you're conforming to the behavior according to what's acceptable in society, or to society standards, or you're being transformed, or you're transforming as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, where you're being changed to, you know, it's a change to the natural disposition or temper of a man. In other words, you are transforming to be just like Christ. In other words, you are not conforming to this world's way of doing things, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but you're being transformed by the total. How you're going to be transformed or changed? By the total renewal of your mind, that you may be able to prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, to the point where your mind will be so transformed by the word of God that you will begin to conform, or you will begin to behave according to the standards and dictates of the word of God. We also talked about how God told the people He says, don't love the world. Don't love this world system. He says, nor even the things that are in the world. And he told us in 1 John chapter 2, where in verse 15, he's talking about, don't love the things of this world. Don't even love this world. What is this world? He's talking about this world system or this world's way of doing things. He says, don't get caught up so attached to this world's way of doing things that you are conforming to the world's way of doing things, and you're not transforming. You're having your mind, will, and emotions transformed by the word of God, so you will conform to God's way of doing things. And what did he say was in the world? He said, in this world system, you have lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the very pride of life. Lust of the eyes is whatever looks good, man, is good to you. Whatever lust of the flesh is, whatever is good to your flesh. And then he says, and then you have the pride of life, where it's always talking about having a status, doing whatever it takes to have status, and how we're supposed to have our house built by the word of God. How, you know, and first in Psalms 127:1, it says, except the Lord builds your house, when you labor to build it, when you put in all your energies and effort to build it, you're laboring in vain. And you might get it up, but man, you will be responsible for it. But God says, but when you allow me to build your house, when he's talking about house, he's talking about your life. When you allow me to build your life, he says, on the foundation of my word, he says, then you will begin to prove once and for all what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Then we found out how, you know, a lot of people, they have zeal, or they'll have a passion, you know, or have a strong pursuit for the things of God, but not according to the knowledge of God. They may be doing a whole lot of things. They might be going to meetings 4, 5, 20 times in a month's time, just trying to get as in the house as much as they can, but they're not doing it according to the knowledge of God, not doing it according to God's way. So because they're ignorant or lack knowledge according to God's righteousness, what they begin to do, they begin to seek to establish their own righteousness. Well, it says that, you know, you got to believe on Jesus, but I don't think it really takes all that. So I'm just going to go ahead and do it my way. And, you know, it's not like Sprite, obey your thirst, and you my way, or like Burger King, my way right away. It doesn't happen like that in the word, in the things of God. See, when Jesus came, he never came to establish a religion. When Jesus came, he came to reestablish the kingdom of God and give us an opportunity to become in right relationship with God once again, which we lost when Adam and Eve bowed their knee in the garden and transition from the kingdom of God into the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus came back, and according to John 10:10, it says the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But it says, but Jesus says, I came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. But whether you receive that life or not is not up to God as much as it's up to you. And we also begin talking about how, you know, one of the things about having knowledge of God is to understand the character and nature of God, which we broke down talking about, you know, some of the characteristics. I call Psalms 103:1-8, I call it the kingdom of God benefit package. And it talks about, you know, some of the benefits of being citizens of the kingdom of God. Once you become a follower of Jesus Christ, says that, you know, he's forgiven all your iniquities. He's healed all your diseases. He's redeemed or purchased your life back from destruction. He's actually crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles daily. So all these things, David is all prophesying, all these things would happen as a result of being citizens of the kingdom of God, or being in right relationship with him. And it really comes down to the fact that, you know, if God is this good, then he doesn't need to use evil or chaos or calamity, which the word of God says in James 1, he doesn't use evil. It says that let no one ever say in James 1:13, say that, you know, they're tempted, you know, let them never say that they are tempted, or that God tempts them with evil, because it says that God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone with evil. That word tempt there means test or entice or discipline. God doesn't need to do all those things. Why doesn't he need to do any of those things? Because if you really want to know how God corrects and how God disciplines, he uses his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, it talks about how that the word of God, the very word that many people are trying to get away from, is the very thing that God uses to discipline or correct. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. It says it this way: every scripture is God breathed, given by his inspiration. And this is the benefit of it. It's profitable. What is the scriptures are profitable for instruction, for reproof, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and for discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness. What is righteousness? In holy living and conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action. So the word of God is there to do what? It's profitable for your instruction, for your reproof, for your conviction of sins, for correction of error, but discipline in obedience. And it's also there for training you in righteousness or righteous living, so that you will be in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and actions. And verse 17 says that the man of God, man or woman of God, may be complete and proficient, well fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. All those things are what God uses when he's talking about he corrects. So he doesn't need to put chaos in your life in order to correct you. That's what his word is there for. And it also talks about in Galatians chapter 5, still talking about the character and nature of God, that the character and nature of God, what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things are the characteristics and nature of God. Then we talked about last week, we were talking about nothing just happens. In fact, we talked about in Isaiah 46 and 10, how, you know, God declares the end from the very beginning. And, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about it. He declares the end from the very beginning. In fact, when you get a vision from God, he's showing you the end results, and then he puts you at the starting line. Many people think that when they see the vision, that they're at the end. But in many cases, they're either at the beginning are things that are soon to come. And one thing I love about this scripture, it also says that God's counsel shall stand, or God's purposes, plans, and will shall stand. And you know, many people try to change things up, but God's purpose, plan, and will, it shall stand. So he declares the end from the very beginning. And we talked about how that there are two kingdoms in the earth. And most people don't understand that there's two kingdoms in the earth. So because they don't understand there's two kingdoms in the earth, they still are, even though they're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, on their way to heaven, and oh, so glad about it, they have not renewed their minds to the kingdom of God's way of doing things. So even though they're born again, their spirit is brand new, and their mind needs to be transformed by the total renewing of their minds so that they can be conformed to God's way of doing things, because they don't take the time to do that, they continue to conform to this world's way of doing things. And we began talking about how there's laws and there's principles, and how even in Romans chapter 8, verse 2 talks about how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is in the kingdom of darkness. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in the kingdom of God. And if you don't know the laws or the principles of the kingdom of God, you will by default continue to operate according to the laws of sin and death, and you will continue to get those results, even though you're sure enough born again, a citizen of the kingdom of God, but you have not renewed your mind to God's way of doing things. So you will still get the same result, many of the same results you got before you accepted Jesus. And many people make the mistake and say, God, your word doesn't work. I'm here to tell you, the word of God works every single time when you make a decision to work it. See, there's a principle that God shared early on in scripture. In Genesis chapter 22 is a kingdom of God principle that says this: while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth remains, would you agree that the earth still remains? Would you agree that cold and heat still remains? Do you agree that winter and summer still remain? And do you agree that day and night still remain? As long as those things have not ceased, the other thing that has not ceased is seed, time, and harvest, which is a kingdom of God principle that works every single time. Well, some people might say, well, how do you know that there's two kingdoms in the earth? Well, the word of God says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, talking about how God has delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness or the kingdom of darkness, and he has conveyed or transferred us over into the kingdom of his dear son, the son of his love, the son Jesus Christ. And whom? What do we have in Jesus Christ? We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So redemption means he's purchased us back through the blood of Jesus, and we also have the forgiveness of sin. But in order for you to partake of that, you have to receive it. And how do you receive it? By faith. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. It says, it is not of works. It's a gift from God, lest any man should boast. You can't earn it. You can't do enough right. You know, I used to hear people say, you know, I'm going to let my good outweigh my bad, and that's how I'm going to get in. Well, if you do all those things, but you never receive Jesus, you never make him the Lord of your life. Guess what? All those things, it says that righteousness is no more. Your works trying to obtain righteousness is like filthy rags. It does not produce righteousness or right standing with God. You know, it's interesting how, you know, in the kingdom of God, there are laws and there are principles. See, the law, the spirit, it says the law. Now, a law is a rule, or particularly an established or permanent rule prescribed by the supreme power of a state to its subjects for regulating their actions. So there are laws in the kingdom of God. There are laws in the kingdom of darkness. And depending on which laws that you are operating according to will determine what your results will be, whether you're going to get the results of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or whether you will get the results are what people say judgments are consequences of the law of sin and death. The determining factor in all this is not God, is not even the adversary. The determining factor on which law is being turned on is you, and that means you have to become very familiar with the laws and principles of the kingdom of God. A principle, however, a principle is a general truth. It is a law comprehending many subordinate truths. You know, a principle is also tenets. You know, tenets are things which serves as a rule of action or a basis of a system. Now, principle of seed, time, and harvest, that is a kingdom of God principle that works every single time, whether you believe it works or not. And when you think about how Jesus operated with his disciples, he only taught the kingdom of God. Many people miss that they thought Jesus talked about the cross. They thought Jesus talked about this, that, and the other. But if you go back and read from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said his very first statement when he began his earthly ministry was, repent, change your mind, change your thinking, change your actions. Why? Because the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, is at hand. And you know, the kingdom of God is a king's dominion over a territory impacted with his will, his purpose, and his plans. So the kingdom of God, the whole thing that Jesus came to restore back was the kingdom of God back into the earth, to restore God's way of doing things back into the earth. Why would he have to do that? Because the moment that Adam and Eve bowed their knee to Satan, him and Eve were actually transitioning over to the kingdom of darkness. And now they were subject to the kingdom of darkness. And in order for God to get his expression in the earth, he had to have a man or woman who would cooperate with him in order to accomplish this in the earth. And it's the same thing it is today. In order for God to get his will accomplished in the earth, you and I, as followers of Jesus, have to make a decision to seek first his kingdom, seek first his way of doing things and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto us. How do you know that Jesus only talked to his disciples about the kingdom? Well, if you look at Luke chapter 8, verse number 10, it says it this way. And it says, Jesus is talking to his disciples after he was talking about the parable of the sower. It says, to you, my disciples, it's been given to know the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of God. He says, but to the rest of them, he says, it's only given in parables. Why was it given in parables? He says, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And he says, why would he say that? Now, you got to understand, a parable is a story representing something real in life or nature from which a moral is drawn from instruction. So Jesus is teaching in parables to everyone, but only those who have eyes open to see and ears open to hear and hearts open to receive the moral point behind the parable or the moral instruction behind the parable will be able to receive the understanding of it. Many people don't realize that when you begin to talk to somebody about the word of God, if you go thee, thou to them, if they have not made a decision to receive that word, all that word does is bounces off of them like a rubber ball. Because the parable that Jesus is talking to them here in Luke chapter 8 is talking about the priority or the principle of the word of God, the importance of the word of God. In fact, it talks about how Jesus, the only time Jesus spoke, when he spoke to multitudes, he always spoke to multitudes in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. So when Jesus is talking, he's speaking in parables. And for those, when you always notice, he says, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Who was the one that decided whether they had ears to hear? The individual was the one who made a decision in their heart. You know what? I heard this word of God. I want to receive this word of God, because I know by receiving this word of God, it's going to begin to change my life forever. Why is it important to get the word of God? What's the significance of having the word of God? Because everything that operates in the kingdom of God operates by faith. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible. Now, I didn't say that it was hard to. It says it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently and purposely seek him. Now, when you're talking about faith, we're not talking about denominations. When you're talking about faith, you're talking about someone who has full assurance, belief, and persuasion and conviction. Somebody says, I'm operating by faith, what they're meaning is, I have full assurance, belief, and persuasion and conviction. I like to say it this way, in accordance to Romans chapter 4, verse 21, a great definition of faith is this: being fully convinced that what God said and what he promised, he's also able to perform. So if you say that I'm operating by faith, if you say that I'm living by faith, because see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So your assurance, your belief, your persuasion, your conviction comes by hearing and constantly hearing the word of God. And the thing about it is the way that your mind is being transformed so that you can conform to the will, purpose, and plan of God is by constantly hearing the Word of God. And the more you hear the Word of God, the more you study the Word of God, what begins to happen? It begins to build up your assurance. It begins to build up your belief. It begins to build up your persuasion. It begins to build up your conviction to the point that you are fully convinced that what God has promised, He's also able to perform it. Until you're able to do that, what will end up happening is you will be operating according to mental faith. Mental faith is something that it says this: it believes the history of the Word of God, but goes further. And it, now what mental faith will do, it believes every part of the Bible, past, present, and future, as well as the truth of the blessings of God. Now, this type of faith, however, does not act upon the Word of God. See, faith without works is dead. It's a passive faith or mere mental assent to the truth. It believes that that what the Word of God says, but it does not act out on the Word of God. So it's never able to truly produce what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How are you going to overcome in these perilous times? How are you going to overcome in these dangerous times? How are you going to be transformed by the total renewing of your mind till you can be conformed to God's way of doing things? You have to get the Word of God, and everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. And one of the things, but in order to operate by faith, one of the things you're starting part with, you'd have to get into right relationship with God. How do you go about doing that? Man, that's easy. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. It says, the Word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It is the word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's really that simple. How do you go about operating according to faith? How do you operate according to faith? Let me show you. Let me give you this demonstration. And so that you can come into right relationship with Jesus Christ right now. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. I repent of sin and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I believe I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer, man, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you to right standing with God, and welcome you back into right relationship. Well, what do you need to do now? Man, you got to get in a Bible-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also talks to you about the kingdom of God and how to live according to the Word of God. Now, I want to invite you to join us here each Saturday evening at 6 p.m. where we produce a new podcast and put it out there. Share it with a friend, like it. And man, we'd be more than happy to connect with you at info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. If you have any prayer requests, anything that any questions we can answer for you, feel free to give us a call back. And by all means, continue to follow us. And until next time, you have a great evening. God bless you. Bye-bye.